We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports show. It's number one sports station, 92.9 The Game. What is the latest on the Falcons in their joint practice with the Colts? Now, our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to join us. He's up there in Indy and will bring us all the news. But, Mike, there are things to report. And let's go back to earlier today as this practice got underway. And we gave a big shout-out to their play-by-play TV guy who joined us earlier in the show. If you missed that interview, go online, odyssey.com. You can check it out. But he came on and said, look, there are a lot of things the Colts need to figure out as well. One of them, Keenan Allen, their wide receiver. People were excited because they got wide receiver issues. We've got our own issues. Mm-hmm. And we said, look, we got to figure out if we can block somebody going up against this Colts defense. So with that said, today we find out, all right, first and foremost, that in the first team offense, first drive of the day, Tua was sacked. Bijan gets a tackle for loss, and then Tua fumbles a snap. And Mike and I reacted to this in the 4 o'clock hour because we were like, okay, great, not what you want to hear. And then Tua ends up throwing a jump ball to Drake London, who goes up and gets it. But if you look at the overall, well, who won and who lost, guys, there are segments of this. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But the news that's coming out of Indy, and I think Falcon fans are going to react, is, yeah, Tua threw an interception. Absolutely. He threw an interception to the Colts' Justin Wally in 11-on-11. Mike, this is why you need this practice. Offense did move the ball better in the second drive, okay? So this is give and take. You can't, again, just go, oh, he threw an interception, he sucks. That's part of this.
Right. But, you know, the idea that in the first preseason game, which people get to see, you miss a snap, and then we find out you're missing a snap in a, you know, in a game-type situation, in a scrimmage, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, are you ready to do this job? Are you ready to reinvent yourself and, you know, take this job? You know, the job is over there because, you know, it's up for the grabs. Maybe Penix gets cleared. We don't know. We have no idea when Mike's going to get cleared. But you do have the advantage of being healthy that he isn't. And there's a beautiful video of Penix dropping a ball down to Drummond down the side. It's, you know, beautiful Michael Penix touch like you saw when he was a quarterback for Washington. But, you know, Tua, what are you doing? This doesn't help. I mean, again, not, as you said, small sample size, but still, not, doesn't exactly instill confidence.
No, and, you know, they had some tackles for loss. They had a few good runs. It's look, I would love to tell you we dominated every facet of this practice today.
Wide receivers apparently look good in the 7-on-7s. Yeah. And some of the, you know, again, these are where the quarterback's not taking pressure, but, you know, you're basically working DBs versus or safeties versus linebackers. You get the idea.
Yeah. And by the way, it was, who was it? Greg Rakestraw, who joined us earlier today. We were talking to him about some of the things that Indy was going to try to work on. But you know, when we talk about these joint practices, this is what makes it interesting. Coaches go in with plans. Hey, we need to see about our edge guys. We need some extra work there. So, Mike, maybe – and those are the battles that we're not getting a chance to view, right? And some of that, guys, just like with our practices, goes on the other field, right? You got defense on one field. You got offense going up against their defense. And some of these battles that we're talking about. But the wide receivers, here's what I'm getting from the wide receivers. And we've been saying this about, like, Zachariah Branch. He was open today, all right? These routes that we're watching Zachariah Branch run – it's the same stuff we've been watching him run at Flyer Branch. He's open. But it looks like, don't want to jump the gun, but it feels like, Mike, we got a wide receiving core that can get separation. And this is something that we haven't had.
No, and it's something we talked about. That's why we go to practice. We watch the practice. Zachariah Branch has got amazing footwork and technique. And it even makes me more frustrated that Georgia didn't even do even more with this guy last year. But regardless, they're going to do it here with the Falcons. This guy gets open. He's burning veterans. He's got it. And he's definitely got the skill set. And I can't wait to see how Stefanski uses him. D-Led, you mentioned, is going to join us here in about 30 minutes or so. He's reporting, and we already was upper body. He's saying that Juwan Taylor had a knee surgery in March. Day-Day, first we're hearing of this. You know, we were of the opinion, or at least being told, it was upper body, like elbow or arm.
So he was recovering from a knee injury.
So that's why when we heard the players, when we did the mini camp interviews, and they said, yeah, we're hoping to get Juwan, he's dealing with some stuff, it was actually lower body, according to what Dan D-Led will expand on that later in the show.
Yeah.
That's our right tackle, guys.
Well, he's back. He's practicing. So that is the good news. And speaking of being cleared, he's been cleared. And that was something else we wanted to watch today. But those are the things, like if I asked you, Mike, okay, next couple of days, the day is over, and they got the work in. But I want to see Juwan Taylor in one-on-ones. I definitely want to see our wide receivers and the separation. I want to see our corners, too. I want to see what our corners are able to do. The problem is they have a much more depleted wide receiving core right now than we do. If their ones and twos are ready, it would be a better test for us. But those guys are injured, which is why they went and signed Keenan Allen.
Right. Who's older? You know what I mean? And they got a guy in Pierce that they gave the big contract to, but he's banged up. He can't go. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones apparently gets the green light. He's coming off an Achilles. Maybe, guys, you know what the best news for Falcon fans? I said it on Twitter today at ATLBell929. Follow Carl at Put Him Up, C Dukes, and at DukesBell929. I said, please clear this guy. Doctors. What more do they need to see?
I don't know.
We're not orthopedists. We don't claim to be. But I mean, there's nothing in Michael Penix Jr.'s delivery, his footwork, that makes him look like he's hindered by something with his knee.
No. And when we did our interview a couple of weeks, it's been a couple of weeks now, right, Day-Day? It's been at least 8 or 9 days whenever we last talked to him. The first thing I said to him was, you look fine. You know, and I was waiting for him to go, I am fine, bro, and I can go. But he didn't say that. He said, I'm running my own race, is what his phrase was to us. And you know, look, physically, that's what's deceiving. I said to many people, if you watch him, you go, there's nothing wrong with this dude. But when he tells Cam Newton literally 3 days later that I have to feel like I can trust it, that was the news that went around the country. And everybody went, uh-oh.
Right.
Okay.
Mental aspect. Yep. You're getting the confidence. Jam at Meal House hits us up. He goes, why should Penix get back there? So we could get injured again behind this sorry ass line? First off, it's not a sorry ass line. What you saw the other night on Friday against the Broncos was a cobbled together. I mean, again, you had Michael Jarrell from Finley, not the roofing company, playing right tackle. Juwan Taylor is going to be our right tackle. You know, and there was, again, there was today some good and some bad with our O-line. I would imagine if they're getting challenged, you got Bill Callahan, the best offensive line coach in the country.
Yes.
Challenge him.
Yes.
Tomorrow, I presume that we'll hear the offensive line did a hell of a lot better job. Right?
Right. And we ran out there. Yeah, yeah, that's
exactly
what
how'd they run out there?
And we ran out there. That's what it felt like.
I had a guy today on Twitter. He goes, oh, Mike, he called me a lot of names for my take that this is a gap year. I'm like, well, I mean, my focus is more on the defense. We apparently did some good things on defense today, but we'll get D-Led's breakdown.
Well, and the Kendall Daniels kid, look.
He's real. He's real legit talent.
I said to Mike, and again, only time will tell, maybe some of these defensive guys we drafted pop. And I don't want to, again, you know, get you overly excited because I know many of you are not optimistic, but that's what happened Super Bowl year. We got production from rookies that we go, wow, this guy's really good.
Keanu Neal, Debo out of the box, Devondre Campbell in 16.
Austin Hooper.
Yeah, Perkins. Look, they love Perkins' game. Good article from Flick about it was almost out of football. And we have a great conversation. You can find it online from a few weeks back with Kendall Daniels. Loved his game, his energy.
The Devondre Campbell, that's funny you bring that name up because that's who he reminds me of. Just the length. I don't know if he can play like Devondre Campbell at one point. Last couple of years, he's been all pro up there in Green Bay. But that's who he reminds me of. He's long. And look, length matters. Yes. You've heard me say this.
Hey, now.
If you put Divine Diablo out there, and we've been seeing Harris, okay, that's the guy that came over from the Texans. He's been running a lot with the first team, but I think Daniels, Mike, is making a push. And if you were to tell me Divine Diablo and Daniels are out there, guys, that's a lot of length in the middle when you start talking about tight windows in the NFL. Now you got to put it right where it needs to be. That's what we were missing when Divine Diablo missed those 5 games and went on a losing streak. Nobody else could do that, including the guy we lost to the New Orleans Saints, who we really like.
Right.
But that may be something that Brick is thinking about. And I'm talking about Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, Mike, is these guys that can just – not only can they run, but it's hard when you're talking about defending these guys and their length.
Well, I was asking you earlier in the show off the air about Christian Harris. It's not like he's not doing anything. He's involved. He's with the first team.
Yeah.
But that's where if on the depth chart, Kendall Daniels, I think he can easily leapfrog J.D. Bertrand and get some valuable reps.
I do too.
Love his game, man. You know, on the other side of it, Brandon Dorlus, you know, apparently he got physical today with Quinny Williams apparently getting after
him. Did he throw him around?
Well, we're going to find out.
Did he slap him in the head?
We're going to see what D-Led has to say. No, no fights out there, guys. No fight. That fight's come tomorrow. I said that.
All right.
Today, it starts, and then by tomorrow, then they're all everybody's ticked off, and then they'll start scrapping.
All right. I mean, I don't encourage it.
I don't know anybody getting hurt or something, but we want to see
some energy,
action.
Man. I want to see some energy.
Just like with the Braves. I mean, Braves are playing like listless baseball right now. More on that coming up with Grant. But getting back to the Falcons, guys, I'm not basing our comments about feeling this team's a gap year team over a preseason game. I'm talking about what we've seen in practice. I'm talking about how they're addressing their roster. They went and got Za'Darius Smith because they feel they're trying to manufacture pass rush.
Yeah.
Because you lost a projected 25 or more sacks. between Leonard Floyd not being re-signed, Pierce's suspension. We don't know what he's going to be. We brought this up yesterday. Everyone just assumes Pierce hits the ground running, you know, against the Bengals in Spain. Don't know. But hopefully he does. But you can't replace Jalen Walker. I think everybody in their mind said this year he takes a big leap.
And Za'Darius Smith did not participate today. Right. So, I mean, we just signed him. He will be out there, guys, when the season rolls around. But they are getting him acclimated, and he's going to be working and ramping up. But he did not participate.
Really want to see Michael Penix. We all want to see Michael Penix out there. You know. And now the question we had with Bryant McFadden the other day is, if he does get cleared, let's say Monday, do you have any kind of window to get him out there for week one, or is that just a pipe dream?
No. Look, Alex Van Pelt was asked this question 2 weeks ago. Have you seen enough in practices to make a real evaluation? And his answer was yes. They've seen a lot more of him than we have. Day to day, going back to even OTAs and all that stuff. So, look, if you make that decision, then you better be able to run with it. You can't just say, all right, well, he's been cleared, but yet we need 6 more weeks to figure this out. He gets cleared, you better be on top of where this is going.
And again, a couple guys hit us up on the text line saying, yeah, the offensive line, again, that was...
It's a problem. Right tackle.
But the offensive line, guys, it's one of the better offensive lines in running the football.
Yeah.
Pass protection, they didn't get as good grades as far as the PFF nerds, but it's still a good... that's why Bergeron is good. He got the contract. Lidstrom is good.
I'm not worried about I'm worried about right tackle, but I have been since camp started. But I'm not worried about the other 4 guys.
But again, are they going to be doing more traps? Are there more screens that we talked about? And that's a skill set they're working on with Callahan, which in the meantime, if they're pulling, they're letting Carl some major gaps and defenses busting through. Hopefully that improves. But I can't agree that this is a bad offensive line.
No, I'm with you.
Other than the question mark on right tackle.
Hey, man. Trying to give you some tickets. You want some tickets?
Yes, please. For what?
Braves.
All right.
How about some Braves tickets to the Rockies game on Sunday, August 30th? It's at Truist Park, okay? Plus a Georgia Lottery gift bag. You interested? Prizes are provided by the Georgia Lottery. Today could be the day. Caller 7 is going to win right now just for listening to Dukes and Bell.
Cool.
You want to go check out the Braves take on the Rockies Sunday, August 30th, plus that Georgia Lottery gift bag. Be caller number 7, 404-726-0929. Good luck. Thanks for listening to Dukes and Bell.
Your glove. You may play shortstop.
You might. We'll come back. We'll find out what Grant has to say about today's loss as the Braves get swept. And this road trip continues next. Thanks to Frank in Covington listening to Dukes and Bell. He gets some Braves tickets.
Hi, Frankie.
Congratulations. Let's talk to Grant McCauley. We got a couple of things to talk about, not only today, but last night. Unfortunately, the Braves get swept. And Grant, let's start with today. Your impressions of what went down. It feels like these bats, I mean, we scored some more runs today, but the bats are letting us down.
Yeah, they are big time, and that's kind of what I've been noticing here in the month of August. And really, since that winning streak ended for Atlanta, scoring about 3 runs per game. Your pitching has not been that bad. I mean, this was not a banner day for the Braves pitching. Don't get me wrong. It all kind of adds up. But they have been middle of the pack or a little bit better pitching-wise, but the hitting has really, really been difficult for Atlanta just to, you know, get those big innings, get big hits, hit home runs with runners on base. I mean, they're doing some slugging, but they're just not putting enough guys on. And that, I think, has kind of been the differentiator between what we were seeing the Braves do at their best this year and even throughout that 8-game winning streak, and what we've been seeing now is the Braves have now lost 8 of their last 12 and are, you know, leaking oil here in the National League East again. And ahead of them, I'm sure we'll talk about this, is a very difficult part of the schedule. So they're going to have to get this thing fixed quickly, and scoring runs is the number one problem this team is facing.
And again, Grant, yesterday I think we spoke about it, about maybe better approach at the plate and working the count and try. I mean, that guy Zebby pitching last night for Minnesota kind of made things relatively easy for him at times. And then today, I mean, like everyone loves Jimmy Baseball, and he was kind of a butcher at shortstop. Those things can't happen.
Yeah, little things are adding up too, right? I mean, if you're having trouble scoring runs, every mistake you make is magnified, and that certainly has been part of the issue for the Braves. I mean, they finally had a balk call that helped them out for the first time that I can remember in recent memory. It seems that kind of stuff's been going the other way. But if you didn't have that balk, would you have even had the opportunity to tie this game up? It's just a worthwhile question. And it just seems like when they tie a game, the other team goes right back ahead, and it's, things have not gone right. But it's little things, you know, that are not happening at the plate, and some little things that aren't happening in the field at times that can also bite you in these kinds of games and when your team's going this way. But overall, again, the Braves have got to figure out how to just get more guys on base. I know we talked about the approach at the plate, and the Braves are bottom of the league in walks. I mean, they're 28th out of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball just in walks in general. And here lately, they've been even harder and harder to come by. They got a couple today, and they were able to cash in on it. I'm not going to say that's going to turn the tide, but honestly, every little bit could help right now for the Braves to just try to, you know, relax a little bit and start getting back to what they're capable of when things are rolling right.
Is Dubon your everyday shortstop?
I think he'd be my everyday shortstop. And as I said before, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I don't see how he's not the guy at shortstop. And you have two outfielders capable of figuring out what needs to happen in left field. I think he's more comfortable on the infield. That's just kind of my read on it. And mm-hmm. it's just not to be a prisoner of the moment about a couple of misplays, but I just think he's more comfortable in the infield. But his versatility ultimately is kind of why he gets moved around, is the belief that, hey, he can help us in multiple spots. But I think that that part of it, to me, when you're dealing with a question about shortstop, that is, who is our guy and who can give us some offense? Unfortunately, Jim Jarvis is now hitting 091 wow. in the month of August, and we are 3 weeks basically into this month. And as much as that was a great story 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, I do think sometimes these things have a shelf life. And for young players, sometimes you have that initial success, and then the league starts adjusting, and it feels like the league is kind of caught up to Jim Jarvis.
It's our man, Grant McCauley, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Braves get swept by Minnesota. More on the next chapter, and it doesn't get any easier coming up. But, Grant,
no.
you know, you brought this up, I think, and you talked about this on the show, is, you know, Lane Thomas, the usage rate. A lot of folks felt he wasn't being used enough, and he's being thrown at a more high leverage. Today he responded, you know, in a pinch hit situation. But what do you make of, like, where Sean Murphy is? Because last night it was, like, feeble attempts to get the ball, you know, out of the infield. And is that by virtue of how he's being used? I mean, how does Murphy even get close to getting back to his baseball card?
To be honest, more bats is really the only way you get through one of these things, right? You get to hit a little bit more. And I'm just kind of looking at, you know, we talked about shortstop and what shortstop has not been with the guys that have been splitting the time here lately. You're not seeing much Dubon. You're seeing no Ha-Seong Kim. And I'm not saying the Ha-Seong Kim is the answer to all of the Braves' offensive woes. It's just his usage since coming back from the injured list has me kind of scratching my head as to why he's even on this team if you're basically just going to use him so little. I don't know what the point is, but that's an entirely different discussion. But catching-wise, I feel like Sean Murphy does a lot of things for you behind the plate. He also takes the burden off of Drake Baldwin of having to do so much of that catching, which down the stretch feels like could be twofold. Murphy hasn't had to play a ton this year. I know he's gone through some injuries, some rehab, and some different things that have kept him off the field, but why not lean into that a little bit more? Sure, he hits down toward the bottom of the order, but if he can get it going, it'd be a huge boost, and you could finally solve the DH issue that I believe the Braves have, which is not getting enough production from the DH spot in their batting order, which, because Drake Baldwin could be kind of your answer there.
What'd you think of Smith-Shawver?
I thought there was some good and some bad. It was kind of a mixed bag, right? And it was that third time through the lineup, you know, that it started to kind of come unraveled for him. I felt like he had some opportunities to make some big pitches there in the fifth and just had some count to get away from him. And again, free passes, inviting other teams to have big innings. That's another bad outcome if you're the Atlanta Braves and you're having trouble scoring runs. And it just felt like, you know, I look at some of these guys, or most of these guys, that come back from Tommy John surgery as kind of a work in progress. And I think Smith-Shawver is still somewhat one of those. But the arm, the upside, the talent, the ability, that's why he's going to get this shot. And the Braves are obviously going to stick with him and allow him to continue in their rotation.
Talking with our man Grant McCauley. So they got swept up in Minnesota, and that's that makeup game for Chicago. That was a strange series earlier in the year. Yep. And as you pointed out on your social media, Grant, it's 7 games against all first-place teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to get – this is really the teeth of the Braves' schedule, because as we were talking about, I think, you know, maybe late last week or early in this week when this road trip got started, I mean, you are looking at two of the biggest series to help decide your potential fate of – whether or not you have to play in the wild card round, because the top two records in your league do not have to play the wild card. The third division winner, which the Braves are the division leader right now, and we can certainly get into the shrinking lead they have in the 7 head-to-head matchups against the Phillies that remain. But as of right now, if you're able to beat the Brewers and beat the Dodgers in series, that goes again. There's a multiplier on that for helping you, A, to start winning again, but also with regard to having the best record you can for playoff seeding. That's something that I think the Braves are as focused on or need to be. And I think the focus of the team anyway, maybe not the individual players every day, but the overall things they want to accomplish, getting out of that wild card round would be a very, very nice thing to have wrapped up by the time you're knocking on the door for October. But you've got to get some things right currently to get yourself back on track to accomplish any and all of these things.
You said 8 out of our last 12 we've lost, so I don't want to overreact. But does Walt Weiss shake up the lineup a little bit? What might he do?
Yeah, that's the hard part, right, is I don't really know that there's a set lineup as it is right now. I mean, you're not batting Ronald in the leadoff spot. You're alternating that between he and Drake. Matt Olson is really the only guy that hits in the same spot every single day and doesn't move. So the matchups for lefties, it looks one way. For righties, it looks another way. Maybe there's somebody that comes into a game against a starter with some success and gets to hit a little bit higher in the lineup. I mean, Walt looks at all this stuff. I will give him credit. He doesn't just roll out, hey, these are the nine guys I got. These seven are always in the same spot, and I alternate the eighth and ninth spot, and that's it. He's, I think, trying to play some matchups and use some of the things to the advantage that should be traditionally, but it's just not happening for the Braves right now. Approach is definitely one of the things that's working against them, and not having enough base runners on when they are hitting their homers is something that's, you know, kind of biting them as well. But it's not just one thing. It's a variety of things, and there just aren't enough guys in the lineup doing the right things at the right times right now for this team to, you know, have those big innings that we've been accustomed to seeing.
And it's funny, I talked about this earlier with Carl about trying to get a spark grant. You know, we got guys that can steal bases. Like last night, Money Harris gets on first. Get him over to second base with a stolen base. Ozzie knocks him in. It ties the game in the sixth inning, but they don't send him against a right-hander.
Yeah, and then today you got Matt Olson stealing a base, so I don't really know what to make of it at times. Is they're trying to find opportunities where they can, you know, press the issue a little bit, but after the early part of the year where you heard so much about Antoine Richardson's coming in and the Mets weren't a good foot speed team last year, but they stole so many bases, and all the Braves did was kind of come into the year and get picked off a bunch of times, and right. It just felt like Walt Weiss had to end up addressing that and saying, all right, well, some things have got to change, and it feels like it kind of swung back the other way, where guys who can run are Michael Harris II and Ronald Acuna Jr., and Ronald's obviously missed a ton of time. But I don't know that the stolen bases are the thing that's going to turn the tide. Every extra base I guess you could get right now would be at a premium, but it's getting guys on to get them over, to get them in, that the Braves are really struggling with right now here in the month of August.
All right, Grant. Good stuff, man. And it's White Sox tomorrow, right? That's that makeup game. All right.
So. White Sox tomorrow. You got Grant Holmes on the mound. And then because A.J. Smith-Shawver joined the rotation, Chris Sale gets game one against the Milwaukee Brewers and is lined up to pitch against the Dodgers. So you at least have your ace pitcher in both those big three-game series that are right around the corner.
We're going to see Miz in this series? In that?
I would anticipate seeing him as well, yes.
Yeah. All right, man. Great stuff. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
That's Grant McCauley. Braves lose. They get swept. Got to get some offense, man, and hopefully they will. Hey, this Friday, get your weekend started right. Twin Peaks and Buckhead for a special broadcast of the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, they'll be broadcasting live from 11 until 2, enjoying all the eats, drinks, seating views of Twin Peaks while getting you ready for another weekend of preseason football, guys. Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Friday. D. Orlando Ledbetter, he's in Indy. He was at practice today, and we're going to talk to him next. Falcons joint practice today with the Indianapolis Colts. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to get a chance to chop it up with our man D. Orlando Ledbetter. My guess is he may be still doing some interviews and whatnot, but practice ended, I think, and you guys know this. I mean, maybe you don't, but even when we're at practice, it ends, and then guys go work on stuff. And sometimes these interviews run a little bit
late. Well, that's right. I got the bow tie website. I got to monetize my skill set. By the way, we're also got a big deal, Carl. A dream weekend with D. Led.
Dream weekend.
In Canton, Ohio. If you subscribe now, deluxe airfare. And we'll stay at a Motel 6 in Canton off the interstate.
So that's probably what's going on with D, and we'll grab him. Right. But if you're just tuning in, man, and you're going, Dukes and Bell, man, what are you guys hearing? What's the latest? Look, there was some good. There was some bad.
Right.
And this is to be expected in these joint practices. I think the thing that's probably bugging Falcon fans, my guess, Mike, the most is when you hear Tua, you know, is bobbling snaps and whatnot. Like, that to me is inexcusable. You're going to throw some picks. That's going to happen, especially one-on-ones. We're talking about not one-on-ones. I'm talking about ones versus ones. This is their one, you know, defense against our guys. But at the end of the day, there were no fights today. And I said to Mike when we started this morning, I was hoping for some energy. Like, that's what I wanted.
Right. And as we said, I don't want to make it a federal case, but, okay, sample size, it was a small sample size. But at least, hey, look at the bright side. The good news is our coach actually puts the starters in preseason.
That's true.
The bad news is we're like absolute crap, and the two of them missed the snap, and it was just really bad. So then when we hear from Daniel Flick and D-Led and Josh Kendall, all the Atlanta media that's up there, it's like two of them missed another snap. So we had basically botched snap, Bijan runs into a wall,
yep.
And incomplete. So that's just what? We did hear from some of the reporters from Atlanta that the wide receivers are really having success, at least in the one-on-one deals. So the athleticism, and Jahan Dotson apparently, and I saw this from even from some of the Indianapolis media, Jahan Dotson apparently showing his athleticism, a guy that we don't really have much expectations for. He has a chance to be the solid number two, and then Branch can be the slot and gadget guy.
That's how I see it. I mean, like, and I think you can do so many things with Branch.
Right.
But we talked about Tua through a pick, and it's funny because D-Led also said, look, the guy that got the pick, his name is Wally. I believe it's cornerback Justin Wally. He got a pick six on Tua. And he said just earlier in the practice, Drake London was killing this guy. So that's right. What we're talking about. Sometimes it's hit or miss, and that's why you're out there getting this work in, man. But Daniel Jones, he played today. And Daniel Jones has been cleared, guys. We keep talking about Michael Penix. Daniel Jones is coming off an Achilles. So he's out there at practice. He threw a 50-yard bomb to Josh Downs for the Colts. And then the Falcons answered with the pick six by Tua, and that's when the pickoff happened. But Drake got the best of their corners, and so there's some good and bad in all of this.
And we did learn from D-Led, and again, if he's covering right now some of the post interviews, yeah. And we may not get him. We'll get him first thing day said maybe first thing tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. But he gave us some information. Now you and I were of the impression it was an arm issue with Jawan Taylor.
Yeah,
I mean that's calling me stupid that's what we were hearing. And D-Led reports earlier today that Jawan Taylor apparently had a knee surgery in March, maybe something to clean up something. But that's a guy we're leaning into. It's not like it's not a monster contract because he's trying to reinvent himself after getting cut by the Chiefs. But this guy's won a Super Bowl ring, and we're expecting him to be the blindside guy at the right tackle.
But you know what? I mean, again, they've been keeping this close to the vest, but it makes sense, Mike, because he missed all of the lead-up workouts.
Right.
Minicamp, OTAs, everything. And remember, they were like, he's here. But he's not participating. And we're like, okay, well, he'll be ready for camp. Then we got to camp, and day one, it was like news drop of all the bad news. Quarterbacks right. aren't ready. Jawan Taylor's not ready. But right after practice today, the folks that are up there interviewing and reporters got a chance to talk to him, and that's when this got revealed where Jawan mentioned, oh, yeah, I'm coming off of this thing. Nobody had said that.
Yeah, and we did have it right. It was a tricep elbow injury that ended his 25 season. That's what we were of the opinion. So big difference, again. Not just like Mitch Evans in the old days. Guys, when Mitch was our sideline reporter, news in from the tent, it's either his elbow or his hole. We'll get back to you. But anyway, it's different body parts. But we want to see this guy. Certainly, there's some good positives. And I didn't hear anything about any false starts or anything like that. But and tomorrow, it will probably get more chippy because after 2 days of teams getting after it, that's generally when the shenanigans starts. Although the other day, as we said in Dallas, it was just right off the jump.
Yeah. And the one thing that I want to get more info on is the pass rush stuff that they worked on today, right? I mean, right.
Who's getting there?
Yeah.
Are we stopping Jonathan Taylor? Remember, Jonathan Taylor ran through us like through a goose in Berlin. Couldn't stop him at all. Christian McCaffrey. And that's why we looked at what have we done to address run defense. We brought in Mason Smith, the guy from Jaguars. We moved on. We traded Rook straight up for him. But are we going to be better against the run? You brought that up yesterday.
Yeah. That's one thing. Like, if you were asking me if I could be there, that's what I'm going to watch would be the edge. Because it's a big question right now. It's a big question. Oh, we got a bunch of guys in this room, including now right. Za'Darius Smith. But he's not practicing. And so you say, who's going to step up? Who's going to fill the void? And then I still, Mike, I said corner as well. I wanted to see, but I think it may be a little misleading. I would hope that the Colts would have had their one and two wide receivers available, but those guys are injured. And again, that's why Keenan Allen is there. Mm-hmm. But that's why I don't know if those battles are going to be as good as maybe we think they would be.
We're giving you some of the takes from Atlanta media from Stephen Holder, who was at practice covering the Colts. Practice is wrapped. Strange day for the Colts offense. Run game, he said, thumbs down.
They didn't do
okay.
As well.
All right. Well, we just literally talked about that. Pass game, thumbs up. He says Shane Steichen said the Colts need to clean up some execution in the run game. But Daniel Jones, coming off the Achilles, was on fire for most of the day against the Falcons secondary, according to this reporter.
This guy's been revitalized, man. I mean, he was really good last year, and then he gets hurt, and their season goes in the tank.
Right.
Right? So much so, they went and got old-ass Phillip Rivers to try to fill the void instead of playing the kid and Anthony Richardson. But it's funny to me, Mike, because it – sometimes it is the coach and the scheme and going somewhere. Because in New York,
Most people thought he was a bum. And now right. It feels like this guy may be on the second, you know, it's sort of like, who am I thinking of? Sam Darnold.
Right, getting that resurgence. You know, it was a weird spot for the Giants. They were kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't with his contract because he had popped, but he hadn't, you know, convinced Giants fans. And then they gave him the deal and you saw where it went. But remember, they called him Indiana Jones. And remember, guys, they're in the number two or number one seed in the AFC for five games to spare. Right. He gets hurt and they lose everything down the stretch. You mentioned bringing Philip Rivers back. Question about if the accurate report is accurate, secondary struggling. We saw Mike Hughes get burned ugly on Friday night against the Broncos.
But again, time in the pocket. It was like 9 seconds they had to.
It's all hand in hand. Without pass rush, that happens all the time.
Yeah. More reports saying the Colts defense had a solid edge over the Falcons offense today. Drake did some really good things. A few sacks, a few pressures, tackles for loss. Falcons did hit a few good run plays. Again, Bijan is practicing now. I mean, he's out there. So, you know, those are things to be expected. But we're going to get more info and continue to break it down, man. But this is critical work because your guys are not going to play on Saturday.
Right.
So you're trying to get all this stuff in. You got one day in, tomorrow, and then, Mike, you come back. And then that third preseason game, all of a sudden, call me crazy, it gets important to me.
Right.
I got to see some things.
And then you get 2 weeks off until the season starts.
Yeah.
So – and again, that's why we're going over this stuff, because we're just trying to get every little kernel of information, because as you said, we're not going to get to see the A team. You know, you'll see a cobbling together of the second stringers and more, you know, coming up on Saturday. Heck, they might even start the big guy. You know, Jack Strand might even start over Cooper Rush. Who knows?
Who's going to be the third quarterback, by the way?
Well, everybody loves the backup and everybody loves Jack Strand. He's got some things he's got to work on. No one debates, you know, the size, the arm strength. You saw it. Don't you think he's progressed and gotten better? We saw him throwing the ball behind people.
Yeah.
He's getting the time. Because remember, the speed is just so much faster now, even in practice,
it's different
than it was where he was playing, at the level he was playing.
Yeah, that was my concern the first few days when I'm watching him, and I was like, ooh, he's late on some things. That anticipation, you can be a big, strong arm, Mike, in college and get away with that. Not in the NFL. And that's the thing. Like, you can't be late on these throws. And so that was my concern, but he has gotten better. And look, I see the promise. You know, I don't want to project and be like, yeah, he's going to turn out to be. But I see the promise in why they may have given him a shot. Right. So I don't know who's going to, because the guy asked me, he's like, Cooper Rush has won games in the NFL. He's going to be our third guy.
No, I mean, based on experience, yeah, but a cheaper option to go with the guy is an undrafted free agent.
No doubt.
Josh Kendall put the video out there. We were talking about it earlier, the really cool Falcons have it too, but that contested catch that Drake made in the 11-on-11, that's a thing of beauty. But we're used to seeing him do that.
Man, he makes plays. Like, that's the – you don't have to be perfect with him.
That's the part of his game that reminds you of Julio, that Julio would bail people out, you know?
Yeah, you just go make it happen. By the way, I'm just looking at this. I guess they're already working out, Mike. There's a picture of LeBron and Maxi and Jaylen Brown. That's out there, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they've already gotten together. I thought LeBron was still golfing in the offseason here.
So did he helicopter down from New York for this?
Yeah, I don't know, but they're saying a new energy, new era, and then I'm looking at these pictures. We were talking today, and they played that soundbite. It just popped up on my timeline.
The Celtics owner does a long interview, and he basically gave a long answer on why would you sign off on trading Jaylen Brown, which he had to do. He's the governor. You know, he basically is the honcho for the Celtics as far as the buck stops with him. You know, Brad Stevens brings it to him, and he basically kind of like, well, you know, it's like he's convincing himself it was a good idea. Everyone knows you brought it up. Paul George is not even half the player that Jaylen Brown is at this stage.
No, not at all, man. I think that's going to be where they screwed up. I think that will hurt the Celtics in the long run. What's up, O?
Dana and I just sent a tweet. It's a cut after practice or a quote after practice from two to the media.
Okay,
I think you should read it, Carl. Maybe that's kind of it'll revitalize your feelings on Tua.
Oh well,
are you fading on Tua?
No, I haven't faded. I mean, you guys keep throwing me under the bus, thinking I'm faded on him.
Have you given up on Tua?
Not yet.
Have you called for the service car? did you give him a gift basket like Derek Jeter after your one night stand?
Ask Tua about receiving feedback from Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Reese so far in their time working together. Quote. Yeah, I think they've been very helpful. There's no holding back. Tua's answer to this. They'll tell you what it is, and you move forward from that. I think as a professional football player, that's all you can ask for, right? Constructive criticism and being able to take that and apply it moving forward. It's what they want to see, and it's what you kind of want to see in yourself. You take that coaching point, you learn from it, Mike, and you move forward.
That's right. Hang in there, baby.
Why are you looking at me like that, O?
Again, we're trending into fortune cookie land.
He's back, Mike.
He's back.
He's not lying, guys.
You take it. You learn from it. You move forward.
It's exactly right.
You know, how about this? You take the snap. You catch the ball. You move back. And you throw the football.
You make the read.
You make the read.
And then you throw the football.
The ball hits your hands. It doesn't hit the ground. Yeah. And then the play starts. That's a key to it.
Look, I don't think, first of all, we've been saying this. They don't owe any of these guys anything.
No.
Anything. Nope. So I wouldn't expect anything less for them to be brutally honest with the performances of everybody across the board. Man, I said this. This is why, Mike, I am struggling with your comment. None of these guys are trying to lose. None of them.
Right.
So, when you start saying a gap year, it's almost like, yeah, man, I'll just collect this check.
Oh, no, no.
And I'm good.
My phrase, gap year, means, you know, you're transitioning from the previous regime, which did some good things in the draft and some really dumb things, you know. And now you're clearing the cap. We're going to have a ton of cap space. We may, you know, again, as you say, there's no way you can guarantee. These guys hit us up on the text, we got a tank. It doesn't happen.
Nope.
It's not the way it works. And by the way, having all the cap space in the world doesn't guarantee you anything either. Talk to the Jets. They've had that situation many times. But I like where this team is headed. I like the draft. But I'm just concerned about, and again, we're going to find out. We won't find out Saturday. We've got to rely on the reporters and talk to the guys what they see tomorrow. Where's our pass rush coming from? Who's going to be the quarterback? Guys, what's the old line from?
You just heard from the quarterback.
Yeah, no. My quarterback.
You just heard
Michael
from
Penix Jr.
Now he's your quarterback. You just heard from the guy.
As Billy D said, as Gale Sayers, when you hit your knees tonight, say a prayer for Michael Penix's knees because we want him out there. We need him out there.
There's a lot of people. Thank you. Oh, there's a lot of people who've been giving him prayers. Hey, man, we got to get out of the way. Tomorrow we'll get Dion. Tomorrow, because obviously he's interviewing
us. I'm sorry, guys. I was dealing with a major subscription.
We'll get him on tomorrow.
Bowtie Sports.
We're also going to talk to Mike Griffith tomorrow from Dog Nation. Lots of stuff, guys, we're chasing down. So make sure you're here at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. Chris has got a short show. And then we got Atlanta United tonight. They're on the road in Minnesota. Pre-game at 7:30. Kick is at 8:30. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests. Great stuff from Indianapolis early in the show from Greg Rakestraw. Again, Colts play-by-play guy on television. Very informative stuff. Go check it out.
He sounded like it, too.
He did.
Well, I'll tell you what. Indiana football fans have dealt with a lot of misery, Carl.
He's on all the time. Yep. Hey, man. Oh, great job behind the glass. Day-Day executive producing. Stay tuned. Turtle's got you covered,
hey,
man.
Hey, it's Turtle.
We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. All right, guys. Thanks for being here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Mike Bell. Clear your throat.
I always defend Alex Anthopoulos. I always feel that, you know, somehow the management's kind of monkeying around. He never gets to spend big money on pitchers. They can never close that gap between us and where the Phillies are. But I got to be honest, man. You know, Jurickson Profar. Hassan Kim. Sean Murphy. You know what I mean? That's where we're at. Tyler Kinley. That's money. That's money. I mean, if you're McGurk. I know that's a lot of. You need some wet naps, man. You're going to need some. You need some baby wipes on that, man. But if Terry McGurk comes in and goes, "Hey, man, that's almost $100 million of, you know, that's not getting production or $80 million. Either way, it's money that's going out the door. You get nothing for it.
Yeah, it's fair. For me, guys, these practices are important. Look, we're not over exaggerating when we want to find out and know how these one on ones are going or a certain position group. Mike's right. There are a lot of questions. But you can find out more about your team. The one thing I would ask you, we are now going into week four, past training camp. We're into the preseason. What's the culture of this football team? Do you know? I don't. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You had your quarterly evaluation with your supervisor, and the rating was